ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರುಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ವಿವೇಕ ಚೂಡಾಮಣಿ, ಶ್ಲೋಕ 564. ವಿಲಕ್ಷಣಂ ಯಥಾದ್ವಾಂತಂ ಲೀಯತೆ ಬಾನು ತೇಜಸೀ ತಥೈವ ಸಕಲಂ ದೃಶ್ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಿ ಪ್ರವಿಲೀಯತೆ. ಆನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಈಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್. ದಿ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ವಾಸ್ ಕಂಪೇರ್ಡ್ ಟು ದಿ ಫೈರ್. ದಿ ಅಗ್ನಿ ದೃಷ್ಟಾಂತ ವಾಸ್ ಗಿವನ್. ಇಫ್ ಯು ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್, ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ವಾಸ್ ಕಂಪೇರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಎ fire, and just as the fire destroys all objects, jnana, self-knowledge, also destroys the entire avidya prapancha, the entire ignorance. So in this shloka, knowledge is compared to prakashaha or light, and when the light arrives, the darkness that gets destroyed. Similarly, the entire ignorance and its products also, they are all destroyed by jnana prakashaha. So according to Vedanta, darkness is not a negative entity. These are a lot of things which are very revelations in Vedanta. It is not mere absence of light. Vedanta looks upon darkness as a positive entity. It is a bhava rupam, because it is capable of covering an object. Darkness is capable of covering an object. Darkness covers an object from my vision. So, avarna swarupatvat, it is a positive entity. Avarna means covering. And not only that, we talk about the destruction of darkness by light. So, if darkness is a non-existent entity, then light cannot remove something which is absent. So, this is the logic. When what is non-existent, it cannot be and need not be removed. That is non-existent, because it is already non-existent. And therefore, whatever is removed by anything, that should be a removable positive entity, and therefore, darkness is bhava padartha. Thus, because it is removable, and it can also cover things, dvantam or antakara is a positive entity. Antakara is darkness. And when the light comes, the antakara is removed. Now the question is what? Where does it go? Where does the darkness go? If darkness is removed, it must go somewhere. It disappears and I do not see it going somewhere also. Therefore, where does it disappear is the question. It disappears into the very light itself. The light itself swallows the antakara, the darkness. Even though light and darkness are of opposite nature, the light has got a peculiar quality of swallowing the darkness, which is opposed to it. In the same way, jnana chetana swarupa atma that swallows the achetana jata rupa anatma. So look at this now. Dvantam banutejasi liyate. If you look at the first line. So dvantam, darkness, dissolves. It merges into banutejasi. Banutejasi means the light of the sun. Banu is light, the sun. So here the darkness of the night, the nocturnal darkness, resolves into the sunlight. When the sun rises, it does not go anywhere, but it gets dissolved into the sunlight. Tataiva, in the same way, sakalam drishyam, the whole universe is also an embodiment of ignorance only. Drishyam, drik and drishyam, this drik drishya viveka we have seen many times earlier. Because it is born out of ignorance, drishyam, the whole entire prapancha is born out of ignorance. It is sustained by ignorance, and therefore it is an embodiment of ignorance, which is comparable to darkness. So sakalam Drishyam, Antakara Rupam, Drishyam. And why do we call the universe as Antakara? Because that also covers the essential truth of Brahman. The entire Swapna, dream, can be called a darkness because the Swapna, the dream, covers my essential nature, that I am a waker. And the more you continue the dream, the more your waker nature is concealed. So, Swapna Prapancha is the concealing darkness which covers the waker. The Jagrat Prapancha is also this concealing darkness which covers my Turiya Swarupam, Atma Swarupam. And all this darkness, Sakalam, Drishyam, Brahmani, Praviliyate, they all resolve into Brahman, which is comparable to Bhanu Tejaha, the sunrise. Shloka 565. Ghate natte yata vyoma, vyomaiva bhavati sputam, tataiva upadhi vilaye, brahmaiva brahma vitsvayam. Another example is given here. Several examples are given actually. All of them talk about the Videha Mukti. So example number one is Agni. Then the next example is Prakashaha, Tejas. And now the third example is Akashaha. When any enclosure is destroyed, which encloses, for example, Akasha, the space, like for example, a pot or a hall, what happens to the space obtaining in that enclosure? We know that nothing happens. The space continues to be same, but one thing happens: as long as the enclosure is there, we give a special name to the space enclosed. For example, pot space, room space, and all that. And not only we give a special nama, we talk about its size also. Even though space does not have any size at all, we talk about bigger space, smaller space, because bigger room, smaller room. So, enclosure space seems to have its own unique adjectives also, even though in truth there is no big or small space. Really speaking, small space, big space, etc. are all delusions only, because we think that space within a small room is small only. But space is not within a small room, but small room is existing within space. Space is not existing within a big room also. The big room exists within space. But because of our delusion, we talk about pot space, which is small and all that thing. And from that angle, when the pot is destroyed, it appears as though the small space has merged into the big space. The pot was born, the pot is destroyed. Similarly, there is no question of a Jivatma, there is no question of a Paramatma, and there is no question of Jivatma merging into Paramatma. See, all these are all very shocking revelations. We were all the time talking about Jiva, Ishwara, Aikyam and all that thing, Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam. Now we are saying there is no question of Jivatma merging into Paramatma. These are all delusions from the standpoint of ignorance. The truth is, there is only one Atma which can neither be called Jivatma or Paramatma. Jiva, Paramatma, etc. are from the standpoint of enclosures only. And from the consciousness standpoint, there is no difference at all. So it is given here very beautifully. Ghate nashte sati. When the ghatam is the pot. When the pot is destroyed, vyoma vyomaiva bhavati. Vyoma, here vyoma means space. First space is ghatakasha, the pot space. Vyomaiva bhavati, that is the second vyoma. Second vyoma is the total space. So, mahakashaha. So, the ghatakashaha pot space, it becomes the mahakashaha. So, ghatakashaha becomes. Becomes means seemingly becomes, within quotation, becomes. Mahakashaha. And not because the change in akasha, but there is a change in the language that we use. Tataiva. In the same way, there is only one Atma all the time. The all-pervading Atma. And what do we do? When the body is available, from the standpoint of the body, we gave the name Jivatma. and the when body is gone, we remove the name Jivatma and we attribute the new name Paramatma. Therefore, Upadhi Vilaye, Upadhi, when the Upadhi means the Shariratrayam, the three bodies, the medium. When the three bodies are resolved, Upadhi Vilaye, at the time of Videha Mukti, that is at the end of Prarabdha, when the body goes away, Brahmavit, Brahmaiva Bhavati. Brahmavit, Brahmavit is the Jivatma, who is the Jnani, the enlightened Jivatma, who is called Jivan Muktaha, Brahmaiva Bhavati. He becomes again, within again quotes, becomes small within quotes, Paramatma. Therefore, the difference is from the other people's angle only, from the Jnani's angle, he was, he is, and he ever will be Brahman. From the Jnani's angle. Shloka 566. Kshiram kshire yata kshiptam tailam taile jalam jale samyuktamekatam yati tayatman yatma vinmuti munihi. Now Acharya gives three more examples here. We have already seen three examples, Agni, Prakasha and Akasha. Now he gives three more. One is, so imagine, for example, you got a cup of milk and also a huge vessel full of milk, both we got. And a person pours this cup of milk into the huge vessel full of milk. And once it has merged into the total milk, you can never differentiate where the cup of milk is lying. It's all milk. That means it becomes indistinguishably one mass of milk. So, kshire, kshiptam, kshire, ekatam, yadi. So, it becomes one, which cannot be distinguished. Similarly, taile, kshiptam, tailam. Oil, tailam, which is mixed with oil, becomes indistinguishably one. And similarly, jale, kshiptam, jalam. Water, which is mixed with water, ekatam yati. It becomes indistinguishably one. In the same way, Jivatma becomes one with Paramatma. All these examples, they are all important because what happens at the time of Mukti is an important discussion in all systems of philosophy. Even though when I just said that, it appears as if it is very obvious. But if you really look at it in detail, except in the Advaita Vedanta, in all other systems of philosophy, Jivatma can never become one with Paramatma. They claim that even at the time of Mukti, Jivatma will have to stand separate from Paramatma. According to them, Jivatma has to travel to reach Paramatma. Recently, actually, we are having Vaikuntha Ekadashi now on the 7th, I guess, where the Swargavasal, you know, they have got this gate taking people directly to Vaikuntha that is opened. And according to that system of philosophy, the Jivatma has to go to Vaikuntha and there Paramatma will be in Vaikuntham. Jivatma can never become one with Paramatma. Even in Vaikuntham, Jivatma has to serve the Paramatma. So, in all other systems of philosophy, differences between God and man is permanently maintained. During samsara also, Jiva is Jiva, Ishvara is Ishvara. What maximum you can do? You can go perhaps near to the God. And there also there are gradation. If you have done better sadhana, a lot of punya, better sadhana, you can be maybe in the same room as God, samipyam. And if your sadhana is a little less, you can be maybe in the adjacent room. You can only maybe hear conversations, you cannot be directly in front of the God. You cannot see the Lord. And there also in the same room, there is a front of the room, there is back of the room. There all those things are there. So they will never accept Jivatma becoming one with the Paramatma. And still closer if you want to go, you can become maybe the Shankha of the Lord or the Chakra of the Lord, the Tulasimala of the Lord. So one can maybe touch the Lord. Maximum you can be near, but you can never become one with the Lord. This is other systems of philosophy. Here Shankaracharya says, no such thing at all in Advaita Vedanta. You and God have been one. You are one, you will ever be one. Distance is caused by the delusion only, and therefore you have to only remove the delusion. And three examples are given here. Shankaracharya's example, they are given in the Upanishad itself, in Katha Upanishad, all these three examples are given. So Shankaracharya borrows them from the Upanishad. Yatodakam shuddhe shuddhamasiktam tadrigeva bhavati. Evam munir vijanata atma bhavati gautama. Just as the pure water, mixed with pure water, becomes indistinguishably one, similarly, Jivatma and Paramatma, they become one. So, Adi Shankara, he borrows this idea from Kathopanishad and then he is giving it here. So, Samyuktam Ekatam Yati, Tatam Atmavin Munihi, Atmavit Atmavin Munihi. So, this Munihi, this Jnani, the wise person who has got the knowledge of the Atma, he does not use the, you know, Jivatma or Paramatma, those words Acharya is not using, because these two, they are all adjectives from the standpoint of Vyavaharika, Paramarthika Drishtya. From the absolute reality, there is neither Jiva adjective nor Parama adjective, only Atma is there. Shloka 567.
Evam videha kaivalyam sanmatratvam akhanditam brahma bhavam prapadyaisha yatirnavartate punaha.
So what is the significance of videha mukti that is mentioned here in this shloka? Videha mukti is a mukti in which all the differentiating upadis, all the mediums, they are all removed, they are all dissolved. The differentiating upadis, that is the sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, karana shariram, they are all resolved. And as long as these three shariras are there, the differentiation will continue. And as long as the differentiation continues, what happens? Punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam, that will continue. And that is why even during pralaya, sthula shariram may go away, sukshma shariram may go away, but what doesn't go away? Karana shariram continues. And therefore, jivatma, paramatma, bheda continues even during pralayam. And because of the continuity of the bheda due to karana shariram, again in the next srishti, next creation, the jiva is going to be born. Because we know karana shariram is nothing but the potent form of the other two shariram. Sharira dvayasyam karana matram. Therefore, as long as Beda remains, Punarapi Jananam cycle will continue. But in Videha Mukti, all the three differentiating factors are gone. And therefore, there is no question of Punarjanma at all. Therefore, he says, Evam Videha Kaivalyam Prapadya. In this manner, Evam, as given in the six examples earlier, you know, shlokas 563 to 566, in four shlokas, Shankaracharya, he gave six examples and they are all explained through these three, six examples. Videha Kaivalyam Prapadya. This Jnani, he attains Videha Mukti. And Videha means what? Freedom from the Deha, the body, Videha. And what type of Deha? We have to add here, all the three Dehas, Videha Trayam Prapadya. The three Dehas are the Sthula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram and Karana Shariram. Having been freed from all the three bodies, which is otherwise called Kaivalyam. Kaivalyam means Kaivalatvam, or the state of non-duality. That is Kaivalyam, that is Advaita Bhavam, he attains. And what is the nature of this person at that time? He is Sanmatratvam. Sat. Sanmatratvam means Satmatratvam. So thereafter the Jnani exists only in the form of Sat. Sat is the pure existence, which is all-pervading. So, one need not feel that I become non-existent. Videha Mukti is not non-existence. But Videha Mukti is, I exist as the very existence behind everyone. I have already told this. This existence is a noun. I exist as the very existence behind everyone. I exist behind all the bodies. In fact, all the bodies are my bodies. So, instead of claiming one body as mine, I have all the bodies. That is, when you renounce your identification with one thing, you think you are losing something. That's what the general feeling. For example, if you renounce identification with something, you think you lose something, but really speaking, the truth is what? When you renounce your identification with one thing, this body, you get everything. So, sannyasa is not a loss, but it is giving up the smallness to own up the bigness. Generally, we think a sannyasi is a pure person because he has lost everything. But he only knows that he has lost a small identification, and for that he has replaced it with the totality. In short, I continue to exist as Ishvara himself. And that is why Jnani does not take rebirth at all. But Jnani in the form of Ishvara can take any number of avatars. The Jnani as Ishvara can take avatars. Therefore, Brahma Bhavam Prapadyeshaha. This Jnani attains Brahma Bhavam, Brahma Swarupam, Yatihi. So, Yesha means Yatihi, this Jnanihi, literally this Sannyasi. And Sannyasi means what? The one who has given up the identification with the small to have the identification with the total. So, either own nothing, no problem, or own everything, no problem. If you want something, then it's always a problem. So, if you want nothing, you are called Brahman. And if you want everything, you are called Ishvara. If you want a few things, then you are called a miserable Jiva Samsari. So, be Brahman, you are free. Be Ishvara, you are free. Be Jivaha, then you are miserable. So, it is your choice to be which of the three. Therefore, Yatihi, the sannyasi, who claims either Aham Brahmasmi or Aham Ishwarosmi, but he never claims Aham Jivosmi. And he is called a sannyasi. So, we are seeing what a sannyasi, who is a sannyasi, definition. So, remember, be a sannyasi and you need not quit your home. One can be in the home. You need not leave your family members or change the clothes, saffron cloth and all that. So, you have to only ask the question, do I want a few things or do I own everything? Own up everything or renounce everything? Everything belongs to Ishvara, no problem. Or say everything belongs to me, no problem. How about if we say something belongs to Ishvara, but there are some people around me, related to me, etc., then we are in trouble. So, yatihi brahma bhavam prapadya punaha na avartate. He never returns to samsara. Punaravrittihi is the meaning of actually videha mukti. Punaravrittihi means it's videha mukti. Shloka apunaravrittihi means is the meaning of apunaravrittihi is again, you know, some coming back to samsara, born again. Apunaravrittihi means videha mukti. Shloka 568. Sadatma ekatva vijnanam dagda vidyadi varshmanaham amushya brahma bhutatvad brahmanakuta udbhavaha. Why the videha mukti does not have punarjanma is given here. Sadatmaikatva vijnana dagda vidyadi varshmanaha. You see the first line. One single Sanskrit word is a compound word actually, entire thing. It's very interesting. Now this person, you have to start actually from the right side to understand that. Generally, whenever we get a very long compound word, we start from the right side. Varshma, Varshmanaha, Varshma. Varshma means Sharira Trayam. Sharira means the body. And what type of Shariram it is? Avidyadi, which consists of three things. One is Avidya, ignorance. Avidya means, normally if you, again, we have to go to Tattva Bodha. We have seen all these definitions there. Avidya, ignorance is the karana shariram, adi. Adi means etc., which indicates the stula shariram and sukshma shariram. Karana shariram, stula shariram and sukshma. So, sharira traya. So, avidya adi varshma, that means stula, sukshma, karana shariram. And dagdaha has been burned. It is not burned with the local fire. The local fire can burn only what? Only the gross body, stula shariram alone. He can never burn the sukshma shariram. Even by the atom bomb, you cannot burn the sukshma shariram. You can burn only stula shariram. That is why punarapi jananam continues, because sukshma shariram cannot be burned. Of course, karna shariram. So, no method of burning sukshma shariram. Sukshma shariram includes karna shariram also. So, the only one method of burning is what? Vijnana dagda. By the fire of knowledge. By the fire of knowledge alone, all three bodies, stula, sukshma and karana shariras, they have been burnt by knowledge only. And what knowledge? Because there are so many forms of knowledge, they are there. But only a particular knowledge will burn. And that is sadatmaikatvam, that I, the Atma, am satrupaha. I am that Atma. I am of the nature of existence. Of course, it includes chidrupaha also, consciousness. So, I am Satchit Rupa Atma. And how many such Atmas are there? Bodies are many, but Atma which is in all the body, that Atma is Ekam. So, Ekatvam. Ekatvam means non-duality, infinitude. Therefore, Sadatma Ekatvam means the infinite nature of me who is existence. Existence is noun. This knowledge is the unique knowledge which alone is capable of burning the three bodies. Videha Mukti, you know, the Videha Muktaha, he has acquired this knowledge and he has burned down all the three bodies. Okay, once these bodies are burned, then what is his name? He gets a new name and that is Brahma Bhutatvat. He is called Brahman. Until now, he was called a Jivaha. But after burning down these three bodies, he does not look upon himself as Jivaha, but he claims himself to be Aham Brahma Asmi. So what? Brahman does not have Janma at all. Brahman is Janma Rahitam. And I am Brahman. Brahman is without Janma. So Brahman is Janma Rahitam. So I am Janma Rahitaha. I am free from Punarjanma. In fact, not even Punarjanma. Because Punarjanma, that question, when it will come? Only rebirth will come only when there is first birth. Where is the question of rebirth at all? There is no first birth also for him. The very question indicates, I have not understood Vedanta if I ask the question, whether will there be rebirth or not. And therefore, Brahmanaha, Udbhavaha, Kutaha. He is asking the question. Where is the question of Janma of Brahman? No Janma. So, the problem comes because when I, for example, this is a common problem for people who study Vedanta. When I attend the class and understand and claim Aham Brahma Asmi, that is very nice. But by the time we ask the question, then I have become again, what happened? Shariram. I know I am Brahman. I know that I am Anandaha. But what happened? My wife is not all right. If somebody has to think, I am all right, but not my wife. See the contrast on these two statements? Swamiji gives this example. That means what? Mrs. Brahman is not all right. I am all right. The wife is not all right. Mrs. Brahman. That means, so there is no such thing called Mrs. Brahman. But the thing is, when we study Vedanta, that is fine. But we again come down to the individuality, the ahankara. So ego has got wife. Ego has got children. Therefore, our problem is unknowingly we slip down to the ego level, ahankara level. And remember, ego has got all the relationships. What is the definition of ego? If you remember, ego is body with borrowed consciousness. And this ego eternally will have relationship. And problems also will be there for that eternally. Because every relationship has got its own unique problems. There is no problemless relationship at all. Even Jiva Ishwara Sambandha also has got its own problems. What problems Jiva Ishwara Sambandha has? When I have Jiva Ishwara Sambandha, Ishwara is Srishti Karanam, which is very nice. Ishwara is Sthiti Karanam, it is even nice. But Ishwara is the cause of Layam also or destruction. And when God takes that role, I am even angry with God. Any relationship, including Guru-Shishya relationship, means samsara. And that is why we say moksha means asangatvam. Asangoham, asangoham. Therefore, as ego, you are never free from problems. And as atma, you are ever free from problems. Never attempt to remain as ego, as ahankara. That is why we say, if Vaikuntha is a loka, Kailasa is a loka, a place, and retaining your ego as an individual, if you go there, here will be actually, there will be several individuals actually in that Vaikuntha or Kailasa. And once there is plurality of individuals, there will be distinctions. Then there will be comparisons. And one person will be closer to God, another may be farther away from the God. And naturally, I will be jealous of the person who is closer. This is also another sambandha. If you go to even devas, all these, you know, the other devas, they will be all jealous of Indra because he is Devendra. You know, among them, they have got various portfolios. Some ministers with better portfolio. One is a finance minister, another is some other minister. So even there, they will have comparisons and jealousy. All those could be there. So this is also another sambandha. And what is sambandha? One sambandha is called closeness, proximity relationship, and another sambandha is distant relationship. Therefore, as long as ego continues, as long as ahankara continues, relationship will continue, comparisons will continue, problems also will continue. Therefore, problem-free ego is non-existent. And therefore, what should I do? Disown the ego and own up the Atma. And therefore, Brahma Bhutatvat, he has lost his individuality, and for that, Kutaha Udbhavaha. Where is the question of Udbhavaha means Punarjanma. Where is the question of being born again, rebirth? Shloka 569.
Maya kluptau bandha mokshau nastasvatmani vastutaha yatharajau nishkriyayam sarpabhasa vinirghamau.
So teacher is now entering the last topic, which is actually the pinnacle, the you know, highest, the peak of Vedanta. Until now, the teacher said, the jnani enjoys jivan mukti. And after the exhaustion of prarabdha, he has got videha mukti. So, jnana gives moksha, jiva, jivan muktaha, and videha muktaha. So, moksha from both, from jivan mukti and videha mukti, jnana gives. Now, hereafter, the teacher says, in fact, from jnani's angle, be careful, from jnani's angle, there is no moksha also. These are all bombshells in Vedanta. From the jnani's angle, there is no moksha also. Somehow, you know, if you recall, somehow we accepted it that there is no difference between jivan mukti and videha mukti. In the last webinar, if you refer to those, our last webinar, we said there is no difference between jivan mukti and videha mukti also. We saw that the difference is only from the standpoint of an ajnani. From standpoint of jnani, there is no question of jivan mukti, videha mukti difference. Because he is ever free from body. A mukta purushaha is ever free from body. So, the previous topic was that there is no difference between jivan mukti and videha mukti. Now, what is the topic? That there is no question of bandha and moksha, that difference. From the angle of a jnani, there is no moksha also. There is no bandha also. Na bandho, na mokshaha, na dharmo, na charto, na kamo, na mokshaha, chidananda rupaha, shivoham, shivoham. In Nirvana Shatkam, Acharya says all this. That is the topic here. So, as a spiritual seeker, I can look at my biography from two different standpoints. All this we have seen earlier also. One is ahankara drishti. The standpoint of ahankara, ego, I, consisting of what? The body-mind complex, along with chidabhasa. The chidabhasa sagita, antakaram, so is ahankara. And from ahankara angle, I look at my biography, and the other is from the standpoint of the higher self called the atma or sakshi angle. So, ahankara drishti is one, sakshi drishti is another. And of these two standpoints, the most natural and appealing standpoint is what? Ahankara drishti only. And when I look at my biography from the standpoint of ego or ahankara, what do I see? Looking back, I was a samsari, going through several janmas and so many maranams. And because of some purva janma punya, I am born again as a human being. Manushyatvam, mumukshutvam, mahapurusha samshrayaha. We already saw that in the very beginning of Viveka Chodamani. Again, due to some punya, I got interested in Vedanta also. So, some punya gave me this birth. And some punya, additional punya, got made me get interested in Vedanta, which itself is a great blessing. And again, some more punyam favored me. I came into contact with a Vedantic teacher. I got the opportunity to do Vedanta Shravanam. Then I became a Shrotra Hankara. When I do that, I'm still Slahankara is there. So I still Shrotra Hankara, Shrotra Hankara. And having done Shravanam for a length of time, by grace of God, I got knowledge also. So Ajnanam has gone. I understood Vedanta. And again, as Ahankara, I continued my sadhana further. In all these places, as Ahankara, has to be remembered. I continued my sadhana further. So by practicing mananam, I raised all questions, I answered them, I removed all my doubts and got clarity in my knowledge. So I have got now tritajnanam, the firm knowledge. And again as a seeker, now I am in the process of doing what? Nididhyasanam, removing varieties of viparita bhavana, habitual tendencies. Because of this viparita bhavana alone, I often go through emotional ups and downs. Of course, I am satisfied with my progress because from whatever I was, I have come to Jnana Marga, I have done Shravanam, I have done Mananam. Now I am in Nididhyasanam, so I am satisfied with my progress. But I cannot still claim all my Viparita Bhavana are gone. And when I face, for example, some situations, I am able to handle them better now from what I used to be earlier. At that moment, I may be very proud of myself. I can claim myself to be a Jivan Mukta also. Then comes another situation and then I fall flat. Suddenly, the question comes, can I claim myself to be a Jivan Mukta or not? Because there are emotional problems and I react adversely. So, I cannot fully claim I am a Jivan Mukta. Then I grade myself. Maybe I am 1/3 Jivan Mukta, 2/3 Jivan Mukta, 3/4 Jivan Mukta. You know, I always tell the examples to the children. When you want to cross a well, for example, whether you crossed, you know, 1/4, 1/4 or 1/2, it doesn't matter at all. You are going to fall into the well unless you jump completely across. So, 1/3 Jivan Mukta, 2/3 Jivan Mukta, 3/4, they all mean nothing. I hope sooner or later, all my Viparita Bhavanas will go away and I can become a perfect Jivan Mukta, I believe. This is how my biography reads as what? As an Ahankara person, individuality person. This approach is a very natural approach because all along I have been looking myself only as what? As Ahankara. Even after coming to Vedanta, since I continue worldly transactions, Ahankara standpoint alone is dominant because every transaction that invokes a type of Ahankara in me, husband I, wife I, father I, boss I, employer I, father-in-law I. So also the Ahankara angle appeals more since I can take credit to myself that I have come this far, I have studied Vedanta, I have understood Vedanta, so I take credit for that also. And finally, Ahankara angle is most beautiful because we all love our individuality. As Ahankara, I can hold on to my individuality as a person. And it is extremely difficult to drop this individuality and therefore I would love to hold on to Ahankara and study everything from the Ahankara Drishti. You see how the natural contradictions in day-to-day life comes even after coming to Vedanta. So this is the analysis of my biography as an Ahankara person, where I was before, where I am now, and where I propose to proceed. This is wonderful, okay. But this approach has certain problems. And what are those problems? Number one, I can eliminate ignorance completely. It is possible. I can eliminate all the doubts with respect to the teaching. That is also possible. Through Shravanam, ignorance is gone. Through Mananam, doubts are gone. But we should remember, Viparita Bhavana, the habitual tendencies, can never be eliminated 100% at all. There is no question of the mind becoming 100% free from all the problems like what? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mata, Matsaryas, all. And so, Viparita Bhavana is bound to linger in the mind. And therefore, total Jivan Mukti is only an idealistic view. It does not exist at all. So from ahankara drishti, I will never be able to comfortably claim I am jivan muktaha. So even for the greatest mahatma, there will be occasions of reactions. Therefore, the first disadvantage is from ahankara angle, total jivan mukti does not exist. And problem number two is what? Jivan mukti is impossible because viparita bhavana will always linger, sorrows will continue, anxieties, worries, depressions, whatever be the reason, mind will react. Therefore, from ahankara angle, jivan mukti is in doldrums. Then what about videha mukti? From ahankara drishti again, videha mukti also is not possible because of what? What is videha mukti now? After the death of a jnani, what happens is called videha mukti. This we have seen earlier. At the time of death, the jnani sanchita karma goes. The sanchita karma goes away. Jnani is all burnt. The agami karma also goes away. Prarabdha karma is exhausted. And therefore, the sharira trayam dissolves. And the chidabhasa also cannot exist. No reflecting medium. Because reflecting medium and reflected consciousness, both of them will go away. Which means ahankara disappears at the time of the death of a jnani. And since ahankara itself goes away, who is going to have videha mukti? Because videha mukti is mukti from the body. Ahankara itself goes away because body is ahankara. So if videha mukti should belong to someone, the owner of videha mukti should be there. From ahankara drishti, since ahankara itself is gone, I, the ahankara, am not there to enjoy videha mukti. Therefore, jivan mukti and videha mukti are not possible completely. You see how the logic is? These are all two main disadvantages of ahankara drishti. Therefore, in Vedanta, all teachers advise that gradually learn to change your standpoint. Ahankara drishti, you should learn to drop and learn to look at the whole phenomenon from the standpoint of Atma or the Sakshi. And when you look at from the Sakshi angle, Atma angle, there is no biography at all. Because the entire ahankara and its activities are mithya. They are like dream. And therefore, there is no question of bandha, no relationship. No question of shravanam, mananam, all those also. And therefore, there is no question of bandha nivritti and moksha also. They are all dream events, which are all of no consequence from the standpoint of Atma. And only when you look at from Atma drishti, you can own up your total freedom. And therefore, the teacher is coming to the Atma drishti from sloka number 569. Up to 568, he talked about Jivan Mukta and the from Ahankara Drishti, Videha Mukti, Jivan Mukti and Videha Mukti from Ahankara Drishti. And now from Sloka 569 to 574, he is looking at the whole biography of the individual from Atma Drishti. And he tells all these are all big jokes. They are all dreams like big jokes. We cannot take any one of them very seriously at all. It is like after waking up, every event in the dream is nothing but a mental projection. Even though during dream, the problems were very serious, they were real. After waking up, I smile, I brush them aside. Even the most serious crisis in a dream, I just brush it aside when I wake up. And unless we come to Atma Drishti, the Vedanta sadhana is incomplete. And that is why in Nirvana Shatkam, Shankaracharya said, na dharmo, na charto, na kamo, na moksha, chidananda rupaha, shivoham, shivoham. This is the final drishti that is given as the pinnacle, as the peak of Vedantic teaching. Now if you look at the shloka, Shankaracharya says, bandha mokshau nastaha. Bandha mokshau swatmani nastaha. So when I look at myself, not from the ahankara drishti, but from atma drishti, the paramarthika satyam. That is why, you know, vastutaha, paramarthika satya drishtya bandha moksha. There is neither bondage, nor there is liberation. In whom? Swatmani. In ahankara, all these are all there. Ahankara has body, Ahankara has mind, and the mind continues to have all viparita bhavanas. Therefore, mind has all the problems. But from the paramarthika drishti, there is no mind at all. Where is the question of problems in the mind? Where is the question of viparita bhavana also? So they say, actually in medical sciences, they talk about the phantom limb symptom. Some phantom limb symptom. A person, for example, he loses the hand in an accident or something. Or say they amputated his leg or hand, something. So the interesting phenomenon is that the brain has not adjusted to that phenomenon yet. So this person continues to feel that he has got the hand or leg. Not only he feels the presence or the absence of the limb, he also feels pain in that, he feels itching in that, all those things he still feels. But from the standpoint of others, when the limb itself is not there, where is the question of itching? It is not possible. It is called phantom limb syndrome, it looks, or something similar to that. Similarly, Vedanta says, when the mind itself is not there, where is the question of viparita bhavana in the mind? Where is the question of removal of viparita bhavana in the mind? Therefore, bandha nasti, moksha api nasti. And why they are not there? Because maya kalpit, maya kliptav. Both of them are projected by maya. They are mithya. Both have got only a lower order of reality. If you remember the lower order and higher order of reality, they are as good as absent. And therefore, their apparent arrival, their apparent presence, and their apparent disappearance, all the three do not make any difference in the adhishtana atma, from the atma drishti, all of them. And for that, a beautiful example Acharya has given. Of course, this is a well-known example. We know it so very well. It is yata rajyao, as the, in the case of a rope, rajju, which is not affected at all because of the mithya snake, which is seen upon that. Rope is not affected. And when the apparent snake goes away, then also rope's condition is not improved. The presence and absence of the mithya snake may make a big difference for the observer. But from the standpoint of the rope, it does not make any difference at all. Therefore, nishkriyayam rajyav. In the rope, which does not have any change or any activity, nishkriyayam. Sarpa abhasa vinirghamav. So, nastaha. Nastaha, the, you know, we have to supply here. There is neither the presence of snake, abhasa, appearance or presence, is not there. And vinirghamav, there is no question of disappearance also of the snake. Because if I accept disappearance of a snake, then what does it mean? Then I have to accept the existence of the snake. Then only what exists only can disappear. Therefore, I should never say the snake has gone away. The wisdom does not tell me the snake has gone away. The wisdom tells me there is no question of the snake going away at all because there is no snake. Because it has to be there first for it to leave. Therefore, in my vision, there is no question of going. My vision is Jnani's vision. It was not, it is not, it will never be. Therefore, sarpa abhasa vinirghamau nastaha. Vinirghamau means the sarpa going away. Both of them are not there. Shloka 570.
Avrite sata sadvabhyam vaktavye banda mokshane navrithir brahmana kachit anya bhavada navritam yadyasya dvaitaha nisyat dvaitam no sahate shrutihi.
So in the previous shloka, he said there is neither bandha nor moksha. Now he is explaining why he says so. If we have to accept bondage, it has to be defined as covering of my real nature, as the bondage. So my infinite nature has to be covered or concealed. And because of the concealment of the Purnatva, my infinite nature, there must be the arrival of Apurnatvam. And the Apurnatvam causes what? Kama. And Kama causes Karma. Karma causes Karma Palam. Karma Palams are Punya Papa. and Punya Papa gives right to Jananam, Janmam, Maranam and all that, and then Sukham, Dukham, all those. So the whole lineage, the parampara of samsara has to begin with concealment of Atma or Brahman. Now Shankaracharya says, the very concealment of Brahman does not exist at all. You cannot logically talk about the concealment of Brahman. And from the standpoint of scriptures also, concealment or covering of Brahman is not possible. Now let us see why it is not logically possible. To cover something, you should have to cover which is bigger than that is covered. So Brahman, if it has to be concealed or covered by something, it has to be bigger than Brahman. And what is the size of Brahman? Brahman is infinite. And therefore, the cover must, so at least from the, you know, therefore the cover must be bigger than the infinite, and we know logically it is not possible to have a bigger infinity. Infinity is the biggest. Therefore, logically it is not possible. Okay. So at least from the standpoint of scriptures, can we talk about the Brahman of the covering? That is also not possible, because scriptures clearly define Brahman as Ekam Eva Advitiyam. We have seen this statement earlier, that which is secondless. And when there is no second thing at all, where is the question of second bigger thing to cover? Therefore, neither scripturally nor logically, there is the possibility of concealment of Brahman. And if concealment of Brahman is not possible, there is no question of samsara possibility. And kama and karma and karmapala and janma and samsara, and once samsara is not possible, there is no question of moksha also. Who is getting moksha? The samsari. So there is no samsara at all. So because moksha is defined as what? The removal of samsara. Samsara nivrittihi is moksha. When samsara is not possible, bandha is not there. There is no question of moksha also. Therefore, where is the question of bandha and moksha? Then how come I talk about all these things? If we ask, all these things are talked about as we talk about the problems in dream, which really do not exist. It is an appearance which does not have a factual existence. And an appearance without existence is called maya or mithya. So the whole process is a very big dream or a very big joke, one of them, a drama, a play or a leela. So, whatever we would like to call it, therefore Shankaracharya says, what is the definition of bandha? Avritehe sattvam bandha. Bandha has to be defined as concealment of Brahman. You know, these are all totally different types of definitions that we cannot directly relate. Bandha is concealment of Brahman. Concealment means what? Covering of Brahman. So, sadha sadvabhyam. Sat asadvabhyam should be split as sattvam and asattvam. Avritehe means something to cover that Brahman. So avritehe sattvam bandha. And what should be definition of moksha? Avritehe asattvam. The disappearance of the concealing factor. So when that goes away, so the cover. So that is why we use the word discovery. Discover. What is already covered, you want to discover. Removing the cover should be defined as mokshana, moksha. But when I look at those two definitions from the standpoint of not ahankara, remember when what we said, not to change the standpoint to understand these words, we have to be very careful. We are all seeing everything from atma drishti, not ahankara drishti at all. We are habitually trained to think in the ahankara drishti only. So the jnani, we have to look at from the sakshi drishti. From ahankara drishti, there is avritehe. There is avritehe nivrittihi. Both are there. But these shlokas are written from the Atma angle. Only then they will be meaningful to us. And this is the height of Vedanta. Learning to look at myself from Atma Drishti. And from the standpoint of me, the Atma, which is none other than Brahman, Kachit Avritehe Nasti. There is no question of Avrite at all. No covering. It is a Maya projection. It does not have existence, like a dream projection. Kachit avritehe nasti brahmanaha. And why there is no avritehe covering? Anya abhavat. Because there is no second thing, anya, another thing at all. There is no second thing to conceal. So, in the field of Dvaitam alone, we can talk about a concealing entity and a concealing, a cover and a cover. So, a concealing entity and a concealed entity. A cover and the one that is covered only in the point of view of Dvaitam. So, cover, covered division that requires duality from Brahman's angle. There is no duality at all. So, what has to cover what? Therefore, so from the Brahman's angle, there is no duality. So, there is nothing to be covered and therefore, Anya Abhavat. Second thing being absent, Anya Abhavat, there is no Avritti covering at all. And therefore, what is Brahman? Anavritam. Brahman is ever unconcealed. In fact, all the time it is evident as Aham, 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 Satchit Rupena. This we have seen. In fact, whenever you say, I am, the word I means consciousness. Because a conscious being alone can use the word I. A desk can never use the word I. So, I means consciousness. Am means existence. So, I am means the existence consciousness. All the time, that is evident. In between, a confusion came and a confusion went also after Vedanta. And the confusion is, I am Apurnaha. And the elimination of confusion is, I am Purnaha. But I am that Brahman is Anavritam at the time of Samsara Kale Api Moksha Kale Api. Both the time of Samsara and Moksha, I am Brahman always. Just as in dream also, I use the word I. After waking also, I use the word I. Then what part is unreal? The I part is not unreal. I continues in the waking state also, in the dream state also. But I suffered a lot when you say the suffering in the dream are unreal. But I, the Adhishtanam, continues to be ever. Before the suffering, during the seeming suffering in the dream, and when I am free from that suffering also after the dream, the I continues as the Adhishtanam. Therefore, I am that Anavritam Brahma. Of course, in this the disadvantage is what? I cannot take a big credit for my moksha. That is important. Because after saying there is no moksha, how can I take any credit? I got moksha? No. And that is why a real jnani is not even proud of the fact that he is a jnani. Because after waking up from the dream, suffering is gone. I am not going to be proud feeling that I have eliminated all the dream sorrow. I just only woke up. I am not going to be proud because real sorrow did not exist. In fact, I feel bad because I took the dream suffering seriously. Right? Instead of feeling proud, I only looked down upon me. How can I take this dream seriously? How I look at this samsara to be serious and suffered? I should never have done. Therefore, no real jnani is going to be proud. He is going to be ashamed even of himself. The whole world glorifies him and he feels ashamed. Because it is not his natural. His natural sorupam only he wanda. And therefore, anavritam yatihi asti. If there is a concealing factor other than Brahman, so if you accept the avritehe, and advaita hanihi, You are accepting duality. The Brahman number one and the concealing factor number two. So concealing factor you may call as Ajnanam, you may call Maya, whatever. But you have accepted a second factor. Whether you call it Ajnanam or Maya, if you have accepted it, then that means there is a second factor you are accepting. That means there is Dvaitam. And as long as you hold on to Dvaitam, you have not understood the Vedantic teaching clearly. Advaita Hanihi Syat. And you are going against the Shastra because Shrutihi Dvaitam Nasahate. Shrutihi Vedas. Veda cannot withstand the acceptance of duality. Veda cannot tolerate its student accepting duality. In fact, Veda feels, you know, after having studied all these years, the student is saying, Ajnanam, Maya, all those. And he is going on counting them also. When he will say, there is neither Ajnanam nor Maya. When will he say, Shruti wonders, I alone am, I alone was, I alone will be. Therefore, Shruti hi dvaitam na sahate. It doesn't tolerate at all. There are so many, actually Shruti Vakya, so many Vedic statements. If you want one example, actually in the Mandukya Upanishad, this is a very famous quotation. We have quoted this earlier also. I'll just quote this and then we'll start for today. Nanta pragyam, na bahi pragyam, no bhayata pragyam, na pragyana ganam, na pragyam, na pragyam. Adrishtam, avyavaharyam, agrahyam, alakshanam, achintyayam, avyapateshyam, ekatma pratyayasaram, prapanchopashamam, shantam, shivam, advaitam. Chaturtam manyante, sa atma, sa vigyeha. This quotation I have given earlier also. So therefore there is no covering of my real nature. We'll stop here. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitaham tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwaraha Sri Krishna Arpanamastu Narayana.